No need to be introduced to you because most of you know him just about as well as I do. Some of you may have even known him longer than I've known him. Not many, though. I know that he came prepared this morning because I observed his efforts to become prepared in between all the other events that took place during this week. A couple moments here, a couple moments there with his books. Your smiles will be appreciated and warmly taken. But he needs your prayers, and you need them as well. God bless.
Thank you, Jim. It's indeed a great pleasure to be with you this morning and to think upon the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I do greet you all and welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I've always said, it's in his name that we come, and it's his name that we stand before you. Because if we stand in our own name and our own strength, we are, above all people, most miserable. As I contemplated the occasion that we just witnessed, the blessing of my great-grandson, Nicholas M. Denham, and I witnessed the Bible school and the things that transpired there, you'll probably not be surprised at the things I'm going to say this morning. Because I'm sure they had a great influence on the forming of my thoughts. And I would like to turn to the third chapter of Matthew. You know, the blessing of little children is not just a ceremony. It's beautiful. And we look at it that way. But it has a purpose. I got the wrong page here. That things didn't look right at all. I'm going to go to the 19th chapter of Matthew instead of the third. Starting with the 13th verse. And there were brought to him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. And Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands upon them and departed thence. It would probably be well to go now to the third book of Nephi, in the 8th chapter, the companion to that verse. As we know, when Christ came here, he taught them the same things he taught them in Jerusalem in the Sermon on the Mount. And he called his disciples, his 12 disciples, and they taught the people. But as he was preparing to leave them on the first day, he had them bring the sick, and he healed them. But in the 12th verse it says, it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. And they brought their little children and set them down upon the ground round about him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way until they had all been brought unto him. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded that the multitude should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, that he groaned within himself and saith, Father, I am troubled, because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record who heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can it be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our heart, our souls, at the time that we heard him pray for us and to the Father. And it came to pass when Jesus made an end of praying to the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. They rose from the earth, and he said unto them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. He took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when they had done this, he wept again. He spake unto the multitude and said to them, Behold your little ones. And they looked and beheld, they cast their eyes toward the heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw the angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of the fire. And they came down and circled those little ones about. And they were circled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them, and the multitude did see and hear and bear record, that they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear every one for himself. And they were in number about 2,500 souls, and they did consist of men, women, and children. This was a thing that Jesus did unto the little ones here upon this land, as he did there in Jerusalem. But he says he could not do some of the things there that he could do here because of their faith. And so the results of those blessings appeared to be much greater. If we would turn now to the 18th chapter of Matthew, and the 10th verse, to take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. What I really intended to read first was the first six verses of that chapter. And it came to, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Whom is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever will receive one of these little ones in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. And then he goes on to say, as I read just there, that take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And we read there in the Book of Mormon how the angels came down and ministered to these little ones. It perhaps comes a little bit troublesome to us to know what he's saying when he says we must become as these little children. And we always think as a little child as someone that is, you know, kind of helpless and needs somebody to care for their every wants and their every needs. But we need to consider that we are that. We have a Father in heaven that can provide everything we need. He can provide our wants and our needs. In the first chapter of Messiah, starting with the 109th verse, "And the Lord God sent his holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every nation, every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe in Christ should come, and the same might receive remission of their sins, and rejoice exceedingly with great joy, even as though he had already come among them. Yet the Lord God saw that the people were a stiff-necked people, and he appointed them a law, even the law of Moses. And many signs and wonders and types and shadows showed he unto them concerning his coming. And also holy prophets spake unto them concerning his coming. And yet they hardened their hearts and understood not the law of Moses availeth nothing, except it were through the atonement of his blood. Behold, as in Adam, or by the nature, they fall, even as the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation cometh unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judges, and his judgment is just. And the infant perisheth not that dieth in his infancy. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children." And believe that salvation was and is to come, and in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, and willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child submitteth to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall be spread through every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children only, through the repentance and faith in the name of the Lord God omnipotent. He's telling us here that little children are alive in Christ. And when we have come to the age of accountability and have learned and heard of the word of Jesus Christ and of his mission and of his commandments, we are no longer innocent. And when we have learned that only our little children will be innocent, but we can be with them if we repent and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. That's what he's meaning, is to become as a little child. He numbered some of the attributes there: submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord God seemed fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit unto his father. And so he's required of us as what we call adults, that we be just like that to our Heavenly Father, that we submit unto him my every want, my every desire, that our desire should be unto him. I am reminded of one of the prophets at the moment. I think it was I believe it was Jeremiah, but not positive on that. One guy, he was told to go forth and to prophesy. He said, but I am but a child. I have no words to say. But he submitted and he went. He prophesied to the people in his day. He was an instrument in the hands of the Lord. And so he's required the same of us. But it's not just for our own soul's welfare. It's for the onward progress and advancement of the word of the Lord. That he has called us in our day to carry that word forth to the children of men. And we have seen it go forth to the far corners of the earth. And I am convinced that we're going to see it even greater in days yet ahead. But it behooves us each one to become as those little children. You know, as I watched them throughout the last week, it was a great lesson and a blessing. We find that there comes a time when we have a great responsibility towards those little children, even as our teachers was during this past week. They taught them, they nurtured them, they watched over them and tried to protect them the best we could from harm, which there's always that problem possibility. But if we go on to in Messiah here to let's see. I think it was a second chapter. I don't believe I got that one written down. Yes, it's on page 221. And ye shall not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil. Who is the master of sin, or who is an evil, who is that evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being the enemy to all righteousness? But ye shall teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye shall teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And you shall also yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor, and you will administer to your substance to him that standeth in need. So there comes a time in that little child's life that we set the example before them of becoming as they were when they were innocent and pure in heart. And we have to train them up that they stay in that condition. As I started to say a moment ago, as I watched them, I saw that there was a gradual change from the what we call the little children that was always so eager to satisfy and to please, and to where there was that one that might we come to the age when we're just a little bit of rebellion there. And that's where our responsibility is really important. That we train them up to keep the commandments of God, and to serve one another, and to love one another. And at that point, they have to be keeping the commandments. And as we will read later on, that is a time when they come to that knowledge that they must repent and be baptized to receive that inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, and keeping the full commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 3 Nephi, in the 8th chapter, Christ told us a little bit on how to, what's something to help us to perform that responsibility. Let's see, it must be about 50 then. He's speaking here about pray in the 47th verse on page 651. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted of the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. As I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set the example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus spoke on these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude. He said to them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and shall not forbid any man from coming unto you, even come unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they shall come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine before the world. Behold, I am the light that ye should hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Back in, shall I say, my day, and I'm in the latter end of my day, but when I was young, praying in the family was a certainty, not just three times a day as we sat down at the table to eat, but before we retired at night, as a family, we gathered together and we knelt in prayer before we retired for the night. Not only that God would watch over us through the night and grant us rest and health and strength, that he would bless us with those blessings that he knew we needed, but he would bless us on the morrow with the strength and courage to go forth and to fulfill our responsibilities. We prayed for each other. We prayed for others that we knew of that needed God's blessings. And I do not know whether that's a common practice today or not, but I can sure recommend it. I can recommend it because we're commanded to do so. We need to pray for our families, our children, and our wives. As we were studying this morning in the Spanish class back there in the foyer, the thought came up, or the topic in the first part of the Book of Mormon, of the things that they got into, the wars and contentions and strifes, and because of that, they did not prosper in the land. And there came a king. I don't know what year this was, but his name was Benjamin. And it's recorded that in his day, he established righteousness. And he delivered unto his people, as he came to the end of his life, a sermon that we should all read there in the first and second chapter of Messiah. I read you some just a while ago, I think, about not letting their kids, our children, quarrel and fight. But he told them the importance of making their commitment in there to God. And they did. And they established righteousness, and they prospered in that land. God blessed them. But what is happening to us today? And why is it happening? Why do we see the sin and iniquity in our society. No, I'm not standing here and accusing us of anything other than perhaps a little neglect. We have failed to be that light. We have not held up the light of Jesus into the world as we ought to have done. And perhaps we will say, what can we do with our small group? No, it's like the tail wagging the dog. We cannot change everything, but as it's written, we can brighten a corner where we are. And God will bless our efforts if we do that. We are concerned, all of us, about the condition of the world and the right now, perhaps more than ever before, the carnage and bloodshed in that far-off land next to the land of Jerusalem. But do we look at ourselves? Do we look at our own nation and see the carnage that's transpiring right here in our own land? We perhaps do not hear, and it's not proclaimed as loud and as much as it is about that what's going on in Iraq. But there is just as almost as much here between ourselves as there is in that far-off land. And why? Because we do not have as a nation the love of God in our hearts. We have not become as little children. We're too self-willed and think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Perhaps there's not much we can do because our legal system deprives us as a people to stand on the street corner and praise God. Deprive us of the fulfilling the responsibility of preaching the Word of God, or that being showing in public places, and especially within our government. However, if I understand it right, that still our Congress opens every session with prayer. And I'll have to admit I have not heard that prayer myself, but I rather doubt that it's prayed as we are told to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We should ask God all things in the name of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, rather, I'm sorry. We have a great responsibility as a people. To be that light that he has shed upon the told us to be. But if we would turn to Moroni, rather, the 8th chapter, and it's kind of interesting that that chapter follows the 7th, which is normal, but as most of us know, the 7th chapter is a chapter of charity. It ends with telling us that charity is a pure love of Christ. And if we're not possessed of it at the last day, it will not be well with us. I'll read the last verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your hearts that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, you should be like him, for he shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. But going over into the, a little farther in the 8th chapter and about the 8th verse, this is Mormon writing to his son Moroni. And the word of the Lord came unto me by the power of the Holy Ghost, saying, listen to the words of Christ, your Redeemer, your Lord, and your God. Behold, I come into the world not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. The whole need no physician, but they that are sick. Wherefore, little children are whole, for they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore, the curse of Adam was taken from them in me, that it hath no power over them, and the law of circumcision is done away. I'm going to pause there for just a moment. Perhaps most of us remember the account in the second chapter of Luke. On the eighth day after Jesus was born, they took him to the temple and to do for him as under the custom of the law, which was the law of circumcision. But it was one of those types and shadows of the blessing of little children. They only took the boy children upon that occasion, and they present him to the Lord. I want to read it. And when the 8 days have accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit of the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and thou hast prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set before the fall of rising again of many in Israel for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, the sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then it tells a story about Anna, she was a widow of many years, and she too recognized, and says in the 38th verse, and he coming in at that moment gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake unto him, to all them that looked for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee into their own city, Nazareth. But we just read that law was done away. But Christ told us, has showed us the way to lift up our little children to the Lord and to ask God's blessings upon them. And as we have read, their angel will watch over them. It's recorded also in the Psalms, and I believe it's Hebrews, that we all have an angel watching over us. And that might be a little scary to think that there's an angel of God looking over my shoulder and knows my every thought, my every word. But he's there. He's there. And when we let him, he will protect us. But going on in this reading in Moroni, and after this manner did the Holy Ghost manifest the word of God unto me, wherefore, my beloved son, I know that it is a solemn mockery before God that you should baptize little children. Behold, I say unto you, this is a thing ye shall teach, repentance and baptism unto those who are accountable and capable of committing sin. Teach parents that they must repent of their and be baptized and humble themselves as their little children, and they shall be saved with their little children, and their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. Behold, baptism is unto repentance, unto the fulfilling of the commandments, unto the remission of sins. But little children are alive in Christ, even from the foundation of the world. If not so, God would be a partial God, and also a changeable God, and a respecter of persons. For how many little children have died without baptism? Wherefore, if little children could not be saved without baptism, those must have gone to an endless hell. Behold, I say unto you that he that supposeth that little children need baptism is in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity, for he hath neither faith, hope, nor charity. Wherefore, should he be cut off while in the thought, he must needs go down to hell. For awful is the wickedness to suppose that God saveth one child because of baptism, and another must perish because he hath no baptism. Woe be unto him that shall pervert the ways of the Lord after this manner, for they shall perish except they repent. Behold, I say unto you with boldness, having authority from God, and I fear not what man can do, for perfect love casteth out all fear, and I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. Therefore all children are alike unto me. Wherefore I love little children with a perfect love, and they are all alike and partakers of salvation. For the no God has not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. Little children cannot repent, for it is an awful wickedness to deny the pure mercies of God unto them, for they are all alive and in him because of his mercy. And he that saith little children need baptism denieth the mercies of Christ, and setteth at naught the atonement of him and the power of his redemption. Woe unto such, for they are in danger of death, hell, and endless torment. I speak boldly, God hath commanded me. Listen unto them and give heed, for they stand against you, against the judgment of Christ. For behold, they are all, that all little children are alive in Christ, and also all they that are without the law. For the power of redemption cometh to all they that have no law, whether he has not, wherefore he is not condemned, or that he is under no condemnation, cannot repent, and unto such baptism availeth nothing. But it is a mockery before God to deny the mercies of Christ and the power of his Holy Ghost and the putting trust in dead works. Behold, my son, this thing not ought to be, for repentance is unto them under condemnation and under the curse of a broken law. The first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto fulfilling of the commandment, and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, because of the meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter fulfilleth with hope the perfect love, which love endureth by diligence and to power until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. Behold, my son, I will write unto you again if I go not out against the Lamanites soon.
Soon.
God has given us our commandments, and so when we are asked to become as little children, just remember that we are dependent upon God for everything. And there's only one way to receive it, and that is to keep his commandments and to seek his face, to humble ourselves and be dependent upon him. I'm not saying that we need to sit down and let him push us every inch of the way, but we need to listen to that still small voice and be able to go where he would have us to go. God bless you.
Thank you, Dad. We'll use number 307 for our closing song. 307. 307. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for the opportunity to be caused to be reminded of the fact that we are to become as little children, that we're to be dependent on thee, that we may have eternal life, that we are not to be rebellious but compliant to thy will and to the commandments which you have caused to be written. I would ask that you would go with each one of us throughout this day and the coming week, that you would bless the food which has been prepared downstairs to the nourishment of our bodies, and wish to thank thee for those who have made that effort. And I ask these favors, giving you the praise for all that you have done, and ask it in Christ's name, amen.